This is Issues of the Environment, a time during Morning Edition on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU, where we have a conversation about what you'd like us to be talking about. And one of the things of environmental pertinence that you've questioned us about quite a few times is the pipeline that runs under the Mackinac Bridge and what impact it might have if there's an issue there. So we reach out to experts and talk to them about what models show, what would happen if that occurred in the Great Lakes region. Of course, the Great Lakes are very important to the state of Michigan and to our community. And one of the experts that we've reached out to is someone that has been absolutely at the forefront of creating a forecasting system, not necessarily just for this. This is a tool that's used by NOAA and the National Weather Service extensively to predict weather in our region. It's called the Great Lakes Coastal Forecasting System. And we welcome from the University of Michigan Graham Sustainability Institute Water Center, Dr. David Schwab. Good morning, sir.
Hi, good morning, Patrick.
So I wanted to start with a little bit about you. Can you tell me what your background is and how you got into the deal or the business of forecasting?
Forecasting.
Yeah.
I was trained in physics in my undergraduate degree and wasn't sure exactly where I wanted to go. And there was a new field emerging at that time of environmental science. You know, back, that's a long time ago. So I got a job here in Michigan at the Great Lakes Environmental Research Lab, NOAA Research Lab, and I worked there for 37 years doing research on the Great Lakes and was part of a team that helped develop forecast systems for physical conditions in the lakes, and that's the Great Lakes Coastal Forecast System you talked about.
Right. And
I retired a few years ago. Then I moved over to University of Michigan. Now I have an appointment at the Water Center there.
And how did the science evolve during that time? I mean, you're talking about a pretty good stretch of time, and I'm assuming computers got better and became more significant in that modeling. So how did it evolve?
Exactly. At the time I started, we were in our infancy in terms of using computers to simulate processes in the atmosphere and in the lakes. And I was lucky enough to grow up at the time when the computer capability was exploding. And I was able to use some of my training to develop methods to better predict currents, waves, winds, physical conditions in the lakes.
And that has evolved quite a bit, even just in the last 15 years. And that's how long the Great Lakes Coastal Forecasting System has been around, correct?
Correct.
And what is the primary differences? When we say it gets better, we say it evolve. What do you see getting better in these forecasting tools?
Well, a number of things. One is the scale of phenomena that you can predict. Early on, we could predict roughly what the waves were going to be like in a broad area of the lake. Now the wave prediction technology is down to accurate wave heights for a single beach along the coastline out to 10 days in advance.
And you're doing ice forecasting as well in this model, right?
Yes. During the winter time, they are able to forecast what the ice conditions are going to be for the next 10 days.
And just who's using this data? I know that we said NOAA and the National Weather Service, but who makes practical use of the data you guys are developing?
Well, absolutely the Weather Service and then all of the customers of the Weather Service. When you take your boat on out on Lake St. Clair and you get a forecast of wave heights 3 to 5 feet, that's coming out of the Great Lakes forecast system.
And how far out can you forecast before you start losing reliability?
It goes down as you go further into the future, but you know, with the way the weather models are now, we can probably get pretty good forecasts for 5 days and decent for 10 days.
So better than my average local weather guy, right?
Yeah.
So what we are focusing on today is this Enbridge pipeline and how you've manipulated the tools that you've created in cooperation with the other folks there at the Great Lakes Coastal Forecasting System and that model. How have you used that in regards to this Enbridge pipeline?
Well, the interesting thing was just when I retired in 2012, we had worked to incorporate predictions of currents in the Straits of Mackinac into the Great Lakes forecast system. So we learned a lot about the strange currents that are in the straits, very strong currents, and they oscillate in both directions. Just about that time, the National Wildlife Federation was making it publicly known that there was an oil pipeline that ran through those straits. I didn't even know that. So we got together with the Wildlife Federation and used our predictions of currents to simulate what might happen to an oil spill if there was a leak or a breach in that pipeline.
And you're approaching this from a purely objective standpoint, just doing research, correct?
Exactly.
And what surprised you so far about, and I know that these models have been developing and evolving, like with all the other technology that you use, what has surprised you so far about what you found?
So the surprising thing is that because of the currents in the straits, oil is, at least initially, equally likely to end up in Lake Michigan or Lake Huron. The currents go in both directions. So depending on when a spill occurred, it could travel east or west.
And I saw that, you know, and that makes this really hard to potentially to deal with. The volume of oil released from the line, too, you predicted that it doesn't exponentially decrease the risk for surrounding areas like Mackinac Island, that a 5,000 barrel release compared to a 25,000 barrel release doesn't drastically reduce the impact on, again, the local islands like Mackinac, correct?
Yeah. For instance, the probability that oil from a 5,000 barrel spill would hit Mackinac Island is on the order of 70%. The probability of a 25,000 barrel spill is on the order of 90%. So 70 to 90 is not a big jump.
And I know that you mentioned the currents change where it may end up. What did you find with weather? How does being colder or hotter, or does that affect this as well?
Well, the weather is mainly in terms of the wind more than the temperatures. And the weather plays into the direction that the current would be flowing.
All right, and I am talking with Dr. David Schwab from the U of M Graham Sustainability Institute Water Center, who is a pioneer with the Great Lakes Coastal Forecasting System. It's the tool for predicting events that happen in our Great Lakes. It's used by NOAA, National Weather Service, their customers, and one of the things we're focusing on today is the modeling that they put together. With some disaster would occur with that Enbridge pipeline, a reminder that that is a 62-year-old oil pipeline that runs through the Straits of Mackinac. Any concluding thoughts that you wanted to pass along here? How is this data being used? How is the state responding to it?
Well, an interesting thing is that the state now has called for proposals to do an alternatives analysis for the pipeline. What are the alternatives to having that pipeline across the straits? And also a risk analysis, that if there were a problem, leakage, what would be the environmental risk, the economic risk? Those proposals have been put into the state, and they're evaluating now which one they'll choose. And I expect that the work I did on this will play into how they choose which proposal will be funded there.
Well, that's great. And just to get subjective for just a moment, is it your hope that they will use that to make a good decision about how to deal with the pipeline that runs underneath the Mackinac Straits?
That's my hope.
Dr. Schwab, thank you so much for your time on Issues of the Environment this morning. We appreciate your input. Thank you for all your hard work, sir.
You're welcome, Patrick.
And this is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. If you'd like to share this with your friends, you can find this, as always, at WEMU.org.